we are thankful to see each one here. We are going to turn back to Romans chapter 1. I could have turned over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, but just going to get the thought that God's placed upon our heart and try to dig into, study on the sins that we're going through. And I pray, again, that it could be a blessing. It is important that we know what sin is. There's a lot of people in this world that thinks that they're not that bad. And yet, if you go through the Scripture and you deal with sin, all of a sudden we see ourselves in a different light. While you might could make an excuse and say, well, I'm not this person, I haven't done this sin or that sin, it is hard to go through the law, it is hard to go through God talking about sin and not eventually see something of ourselves. And that's really the purpose of what He's doing. And He's getting down to a point that He's going to try to express. I'm not just trying to go through a study here in the book of Romans, but what Paul was doing in this place was not just naming the sins, but he was trying to get to a place to say, well, you think your sin's not bad, but you judge somebody else for their sin. And he was basically coming back to the point of trying to get them to see, how is God going to deal with that? And God, we know, deals in righteousness. And one of the great things about the law and one of the great things about studying about sin is it lets us know that we're unjust. It lets us know that we need Christ, and that should humble every one of us. It should bring us to the feet of Jesus. It should help us be what we need to be, and I don't want to miss that out. It is important to look at sin and notice these sins and even study them and understand what they're meaning. But it's more important to understand the reason that it was written is so that we see our need of God, that we are all sinners and have all come short of the glory of God. We're going to read in verse 31 of Romans chapter 1. Before we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. And Father, we're thankful for Your Word. Even the parts of Your Word that cut sometimes may hit, as people would say, a little close to home. But Father, that's all for a reason. Father, if it wasn't for knowing what sin was, we wouldn't have known that we needed a Savior. And Father, even since we've been saved, if we wouldn't see that we still have failures and we still live in this flesh, it would be easy to get high-minded and lifted up and think more of ourselves than we ought to think. But Father, we see that we need to depend upon You. Father, help us even in the message. You know the need of the hour better than we do. Help us deliver Your message, and for the good that is accomplished through it, let us step aside and give You the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In Romans 1, verse 31, we dealt with out understanding last week. In covenant breakers, we've already dealt with that, and lying, and breaking of covenants. And there's people, you know, they'll sign contracts and then not fulfill them. That goes along with there. That's why I personally believe even how I pay my debts as part of me being qualified as a minister of the gospel. If I don't pay my debts, if I don't honor the covenants that I've entered into to the best of my ability, that would certainly be a sin and be wrong. And so that deals with things of covenant breakers and lying, not keeping our word. But then he comes to this one, which I mentioned also in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, without natural affection. Well, what all does that mean? Well, part of it means we're not sociable. That's part of what not having natural affection means. We don't like to talk to somebody else. And look, not everybody's a talker. I'm not saying God's people, we're to have a quiet and meek spirit about us. God doesn't expect us to act like we're car salesmen or something and go around that way. And I know each person's characteristics are a little bit different from person to person. But what he means by that of being sociable is I care about other people, and I'm willing to talk with them. I'm willing to visit with them. I'm willing to hear from them and what they're dealing with and what they're going through. When we come to the place that, you know, we just can't wait to get away from people. We don't want to hear their point of view, and you'll see this in relationships. Sometimes you see it in family. You can see it with people that others work with. Sometimes you see it in church. You know, it was amazing to me years ago. I went to a church one time. I don't know how many thousands of people went to that church. It was a big church. I went and visited in Georgia, and I was amazed. They could clear that parking lot, it seemed like, in about 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, every car gone. And, I mean, get them out. They had, of course, sheriff's deputies that would come out and help with the traffic and different things. But, look, they could have that parking lot cleared after service in a very short amount of time. And that was strange for me because coming from smaller churches in Mississippi, I'm used to talking to people after church, sometimes 10, 15, 20 minutes. I think the longest time I can remember is we got out of church one night on a Wednesday night at 7:30. And I think it was near 10 o'clock when we walked into the house. And so we just stayed and visited with some people. And, you know, I wasn't used to seeing Baptists just clear a parking lot that quick. But evidently, Kentucky Fried Chicken or something had something good down the road, and they had to get to it. But, you know, there was no desire to have communication one with another is what I'm trying to say. And that's not good. Fellowship is taught in Scripture. And I think even naturally as human beings, because that's what it's talking about, without natural affection, we want to know something about one another. We at least want to know, maybe shortly, short conversation, how are you doing? How are things going? You know, I can remember at a church I used to go to, there was an elderly lady that would call, and her phone calls never lasted more than about 1 minute. Now, she called on a regular basis, probably once a week, but all she would do is call, see how you were doing, see how things were going. Well, it's good to hear from you. We'll talk to you later. Bye. But she was sociable. You know, she at least cared to call and talk, even though the visit might be short or the phone call might be short. But, you know, she wanted to know how you were doing, check on you real quick, let you know maybe something going on in her life, and then, well, I'll talk to you again later. And then I've known other people, you know, you can talk to them for hours. And they'll still have something else to talk about. But being sociable is, I just care about you. I want to talk to you. I want to know how you're doing. And you know, we've almost come to this huge, unsociable place. We got it fixed where, you know, at a lot of places, the doors open themselves. And y'all might say, well, that's just convenience. It helps with germs. It helps with different things. I'll tell you what it also stops, though. It stops you from opening the door for a stranger and having a conversation with them. Look, you can start a good conversation just by simply opening a door for somebody. And look, we got to the place. You go to the gas station. I don't want to go in. I don't want to deal with the clerk. I don't want to have to talk to anybody. Let me run my car. And I know there's plenty of people on the road, and that might make it convenient where everybody doesn't have to go in and pay that way. But I'll tell you, it's got it where we're not sociable. And we got into the place that we're scared of our neighbors and don't talk to our neighbors. And, you know, if I ask somebody sometimes who lives across the road from them, they don't know. If I ask, well, who lives on your right? I don't know. Who lives on your left? I don't know. A lot of people don't know, and we've become less sociable. In fact, even our phones have made us less sociable. And let me show how that is. There's people that look for arguments instead of trying to check on people and see how they're doing. You know, people get online, they're trying to find out what's on the news, what's going on in the world, what can I get upset about. They're not having regular conversations. And I'll tell people this all the time. I have been misunderstood through text messages a number of times. Even with my wife sometimes, I'll text something. I'm just meaning it. I'm trying to give her some information. And if she's not careful, she'll take what I say and say, are you upset? Are you angry? I go, how did you get that from my text message? That's not what I said. That's not what I was trying to get across. But speaking words versus typing words mean something different. And we've gotten to a place where a lot of what we see is text. It's textual words. It's not audible. And so we don't communicate as well as we should. And we're getting to a place where we don't have natural affection. There's a hatred sometimes for our neighbors instead of a love for them. Well, that's not natural. But it doesn't just mean unsociable. It also means without love. And there's different avenues of that, and we'll try to deal with it a little bit separately. But, you know, I don't understand how a person can feel something within their own body and then say, I've got to get rid of this. A child within them. Abortion is one of the greatest things of a lack of natural affection that there is. And there's people that can just easily discard their children and think that they've done nothing wrong. Well, this made my life easier. I've got less of a bill, you know. And we got into the place that if you go and check out the list of people that want to adopt, I'll tell you what, adoption is expensive in our day and time. It's very expensive. It'll cost you probably somewhere between $20,000, $30,000, maybe be even more in some situations to adopt a child. Because you're on a waiting list. You're trying to get a child, and there's probably for every one child that's born, 30 or 40 people trying to adopt that can't have children or want to have more children or things of this nature. And a lot of people, you know, don't put up children for adoption anymore. It's just easier for them. Well, I don't want to carry it. I don't want to harm my body. And, you know, things of this nature. I don't want to get big. I don't want to go through pregnancy. I don't want to go through labor. So I'll kill this child. I'll get rid of it. Well, that's not natural. But it goes beyond even that, doesn't it? Because there's people that once they have a child, they'll abuse it, neglect it, not take care of it. I don't know how many stories I've read over the years, probably at least half a dozen, if not a dozen. I've never kept up with the number, but I've heard several reports of, well, we found this baby in a trash can. Well, we found this baby just dumped on the side of the road. We, you know, done like some unwanted dog or something. But it's somebody's child. I could understand you knock on a neighbor's door, you know, and leave a baby with somebody that you think will take care of it. That would be one thing. It used to be that sometimes even churches would have a baby, you know, left at the church. I wish people would do that. I wish they would do something like that. I would hate for them to leave it in a dumpster and just try to leave it there to die. That's a horrible thing. But that happens in our day and time. Well, that's not natural. It's just not natural to do that. Sometimes people say, well, we forgot about our child. Look, I understand for a moment. I got left at the church by my parents one time, but they came back and got me. Now, that was before child cease. They just assumed I was in the car. One child was in there. They assumed the other one was, too. And they didn't get far down the road and realized I was still asleep under the pew. You know, but they didn't totally forget about me. I was fine when they got me, but, you know, there's people, you know, I left my child in the car for several hours and it died. And you're going, how do you do that? How do you do that? Do we get so busy that we forget our first responsibilities? And sometimes that happens. And I feel for somebody that's had something like that happen to them. I can't imagine the grief that they deal with and what they have. I've got a lot of compassion for them at the same time, but I've also wondered how you do that. Because it's not natural to forget your child. And then on the other hand, you got where people give their child drugs. I hear reports, I think somebody was arrested over in Mississippi this week, if I read the report right, because they were giving marijuana to infants and two-year-olds and stuff like that, making them smoke it. How you do something like that? That's just not natural. Your brain has to get fried pretty bad for you to do something like that. Well, there's people that do. But let's take a different step without natural affection. How does a man leave his wife and children and have nothing to do with them? How do you do that? That's not natural, is it? It's not natural for a man not to want to see or care for his own children. But there's people that do that. There's people I've met before that said, look, my dad's still alive. Sometimes doesn't live that far from us. Haven't seen him in 20, 30 years. How you do that? That's not natural. It's just not natural to do. But there's people that have done it. And it gets stranger to me because the mothers are more nurturing. Natural, by nature, are usually the more caring ones. And yet I've heard mothers that just walk away from their child, have nothing to do with them. I know there's people that struggle. I know there's people that have hard times. But just to walk away and never return, that's something different, isn't it? But how many times have y'all probably heard that in your life? They just left. Not giving the child up for adoption, not going through some process. You know, I've heard women that said, I just could not deal with being a mother, and they had to give the child over to somebody else. They at least had enough care for that child that was theirs that they said, I see that I'm not in a condition to take care of them, but I'm going to put my child in a condition where they can be taken care of. That you can at least somewhat kind of relate to. But just to say, I'm going to leave and do nothing. Have nothing for that child. Have nothing for them in our life. That's just not natural. It's just not natural to do. But there's a lot of it being done. So without natural affection. And now, get into different lines, and I'll deal with marriage for just a moment. You know, there's a commitment factor in marriage. That's almost been forgotten about now. It's, well, I feel like I'm in love with you. I don't feel like I'm in love with you today. I used to be in love with you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. The earthly term for love that people use today is certainly as unbiblical as it gets. Biblical love is a commitment. Every time you look at love in Scripture, and you look at it from a biblical perspective, from a godly perspective, it is about what we do, not how we feel. I'm to love my wife not because I feel so fondly for her, but because I'm her husband. I love her because of who I am to her. And some people say, well, that doesn't feel romantic. Well, how romantic is it for you to fall out of love with somebody? Oh, you were so crazy and intimately in love with somebody, and then, well, now the feeling's gone. That's not romantic. And look, along with that, I could say this. I have a lot of feelings and emotions towards my wife and towards my children, towards my family. Love propels certain feelings. But I choose to love them every day. It's not just a feeling. I purpose to love them because I know that's what God would have me to do. My children are my responsibility. My wife is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. How can I not love her? And there's a commitment factor there. And along with that, whether people want to realize it or not, there's some people that'll say, well, we're married and, you know, I pay the bills and I do this, but I don't feel anything for the person. Well, let me tell you, you're not loving biblically. Because while you don't get moved by your emotions, if you're following the Lord, it produces some things. You know, I read in the Scripture and it's some things, I'm not going to delve into it or try to go into it in great detail, but I will say what the Scripture says. It tells the women to render due benevolence unto their husbands. It also says the husbands likewise to the wives. You know, part of my role of being a husband is to let my wife know that she's loved and cared for. There's times when I've got to hold my wife. There's times when it's right to kiss my wife. And there's some people that talk about, oh, we're married, but you know, we don't talk and we don't have discussions and we don't even, you know, kiss anymore. I can tell you this, that's not scripturally right. There is some affection that should exist between a husband and a wife. Come together, you know, lest you lead yourself into temptation. You can go into 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and read some things there. And I'm not trying to delve too deep into the subject, but just give some basic. There is some certain amount of care one for another that should be within a marriage. There's a certain amount of love and even affection that should be there. And if it's not, there's a problem. There is a problem. God said there's some things that should be rendered unto one another when you're married. And if it's not there, then there's a problem. Because I'll tell you this, most people, if they got somebody they're committed to for life, they like to know that person actually cares about them. And whether people want to admit it or not, if you don't show care and compassion to somebody, they look for care and compassion from somewhere else. And that's not good. And it is natural that a husband and wife should love one another. And there's people that don't have natural affection. Now, there's also natural affection within family. You know, even in the church, when it deals with a widow that's a widow indeed and things of this nature, it says a person that would not take care of his own family is worse than an infidel. How can I say I'm a good Christian and I'm compassionate when I'm not even compassionate towards my own family? If I've got loved ones that are starving, going hungry, doing without, and I don't have compassion for them, and I know there are certain qualifications even for a widow that's a widow indeed to be taken care of, I understand that. But it said first, they're to show pity at home. There's no pity at home. Where are they going to find pity at? Care, compassion. Y'all ever been to a nursing home and somebody that's still in their right mind? I know there's some that are not in their right mind in a nursing home, but somebody that's in their right mind. Y'all ever heard them say, my family has not stopped by to see me in months or maybe even a year or more? Let me tell you, that's not natural. That's not natural. It's not natural to not want to take care of your own family. To not want to check in on them and see. One of the things that I really appreciated early on in my marriage is my wife's grandmother, she got Alzheimer's. And, you know, she didn't know her children sometimes and she didn't know some of her family. And I tell you what, they took shift work with her. Those children were sleeping at her house, and they were rotating, and I mean all three of them were just sitting there going, we want to take care of Mom as long as we're capable. And even when it got to the point where they were scared that they couldn't take care of her properly and had to put her in a nursing home, it seemed like somebody was by the nursing home every day, at least every week. That up until she passed, that's our mama. You know, that's our family. Just because she's sick and just because she's not who she used to be doesn't mean we don't love her anymore. And you know, they would try to stop by and visit her and take care of her. And I appreciated seeing that. Because that's natural. That's what should be. But you know, a lot of times you see the opposite. You see people like, well, they're just gone. They're not really with us anymore, so we don't have to stop by and see them. We don't have to, you know, take care of them or anything. That's not natural. I've also seen family members that don't want to talk to each other, don't want to see each other. I understand their sins that we cannot fellowship with. I understand that. I understand there's things that go on in people's lives that we don't want to be partakers of. I understand. But that don't mean we don't love people. And you know, I've seen people hold grudges over the silliest of things and tell me, oh, I haven't talked to my brother in 10 years. I haven't talked to this person in 20 years. I've even seen it where somebody loses a brother or a sister and they don't even go to the funeral. Just out of spite, out of hatred. That's not natural. And it is certainly not godly. If we're taught to love our enemies, we should be able to even love our own families and mourn them when we lose them. I know there's arguments and there's times you can't seem to talk to people like you would like. But it should never be in our heart, I don't want to see that person again. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to talk to them. You know, that kind of attitude. That's just not natural. And there's a lot of things. I know you could go into a lot of different things without natural affection, but I'm just trying to cover some bases here tonight. That there are some things in the world, there's hardness within people's heart that God tells us that should not be there. In fact, He goes beyond that it's not just not Christian. He says this isn't even natural. You know, even the Gentiles can love their own family, can't they? Even the ungodly can love their own family. Even the ungodly can care for their neighbor. Even the ungodly can speak to somebody they don't know. So this gets to a natural aspect. Are we missing natural affection? We need to be very careful with that, because I think that's one of the hardest parts of a heart a person can have when they harden their heart, is to lose natural affection. Not having love for their children, not having love for their spouse, not having love for their own family, and not even having a care for those who are around about them. And look, as God's people, we know that there's an eternal judgment coming. How can I say that I love God and love not my brother? And how can I say that I love God and don't care about the salvation of the souls that He sent His Son to die for? There's a natural affection that we should have. Or to be just natural in life. And I know some people will come up, well, who's my neighbor? Who's this? I think you saw a very natural affection with the Good Samaritan. He saw somebody that was hurt. He considered if that would have been him. And he said, I'm going to reach out and have compassion upon this person. That's natural affection. We should have it. We should be able to look at somebody's grief or sorrow and have some compassion with it. If we're lacking natural affection, how can we have a spiritual affection? If we're missing the basic things of life, which something natural is basic, how can we grow into something that's spiritual? I have a hard time believing a Christian can get to the place of charity, which is a love like God's love is, if we can't even love our own family, loved ones, and neighbors. There's people sometimes, even with mission work, talk about foreign mission and overseas mission and stuff, and I know I'm involved with some of those things. But how can I have a burden for somebody thousands of miles away if I don't have a burden for the people that's just down the road from me? That just doesn't make sense, does it? And especially, how can I have a feeling for people thousands of miles away and not have care for my own children, my own spouse, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, You know, that kind of line. That just doesn't make sense, does it? There's got to be some natural affection. And I pray that as we look in our lives, we see that we have a natural affection for our families, for our spouse, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Even in Scripture, that's supposed to be a natural affection, isn't it? The book of 1 John, about chapter 4, chapter 5, deals with that in great detail, doesn't it? How can you say that you love God and love not the brethren? Love not your brother and sister in Christ. God deals with that like that doesn't even make sense. How can you love God whom you have not seen and not love your brother whom you have seen? There's some natural affection that should be there. And dear friend, we need those natural affections. And we don't need to harden our heart. I pray that this gets us a touch on this end and what it's about. I pray that it could be a blessing, encouragement to us. And I'll even say this, if somebody's here and lost, that God has shown His love to you. He showed it by giving His only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary to die for your sins so that you could have the free gift of salvation if you would turn by faith and belief upon Him. This is the burden God's given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.